Now, I began last Sunday and told you that for the next several Sundays, it will be broken up. I know a little bit. 2 weeks from now, Brother Scott will be here. And so that will, of course, preempt our study as faith is concerned. But we're studying about faith. And we'll be over in Hebrews chapter number 11 here in just a moment. But I want us to begin here in in Genesis and chapter number 5. If you will, go with me now. Of course, there is a great deal as far as this individual begat this individual and had sons and daughters and talks about the length of their life. There is one particular individual here that I would like for us to read about in Genesis 5. Go with me, if you would, to verse number 18. The Bible says, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch." And of course, we read here, scripture is punctuated at the beginning with lives that are extraordinarily long. Now they're dwindling down as we're reading at the particular section that we're at now. You know, some would say, how on earth can anyone live, to be 900 years old? I've had people say, the Bible's old, make believe. The Bible talks about people that live 900 years old, Methuselah, all of these different individuals. Well, that's absolutely impossible. Well, if you would like to know how someone could live 900 years, it can't happen today, I'll promise you that. But it could happen then. If you want to know how, you talk to me after the service. I'm not going to go through it right now. But I can show you how they could live that long. It's fascinating. It, by the way, it completely, absolutely refutes evolution, just to pique your interest. But you talk to me. But we read here about in verse number 18, Jared, 162 years. You have never known anyone. I have never known anyone that lived 162 years. And that was a young man, and he begat Enoch. And then Jared lived after, verse number 19, after he begat Enoch, 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. This morning, our message is entitled Faith for Security. Faith for Security. But as I have told you, and as we will today, we're looking at enemies of faith. Now, we're going to see what faith for security is all about. But I want us also to see what are the enemies. What are those things that are going to fight against our faith that we have in God for security? I believe it's very clear in Scripture. I hope that you'll listen this morning. Let's bow in order of prayer. Brother Clark, can I have you lead in order of prayer for the service? We'll have Junior Church dismissed in just a moment. When Brother Clark says amen, I'll have you be seated. Brother, years old and down, you can be dismissed. The value of one. I've loved that song. I heard that many, many, many years ago. And boy, how true it is. The value of one soul that comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You think about that. One individual who trusts Christ. One individual who moves from, I have no idea where I would spend eternity, into the position of, now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven would be my home. Well, it's a wonderful thing to know that. I hope this morning, please listen, I hope that you know that today. I hope that you know Christ is your Savior. I hope that you can answer that question, where will you spend eternity? Where will you go, heaven or hell? Now, we're talking about faith here this morning. For the next few weeks, we'll be looking at faith. Now, before we get to the enemies of faith, we will investigate the faith that the Bible speaks of. And it is without question that God is looking for our faith for salvation. The only way that I can know that I'm on my way to heaven is based upon my faith in what Jesus Christ has done for me. It's not based upon my good works. It's not based upon my good looks. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. It's not based upon my good attendance in church. It's not based upon the church that I attend. But it's based upon whether I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Have I truly come to the point where I realize that I was on my way to hell? Again, We're speaking here, when we read through in the book of Genesis. Genesis is, it's the beginning, the book of beginnings. It talks about the creation of man, and it then immediately talks about the fall of man. Why, only two chapters are devoted to the creation of all of mankind, all of everything that we know, in only two books. In fact, one repeats the other. So you could say in one book, we have the creation of everything that we know, and then begins the fall of man and everything following in that falls in line with the fall of mankind, the necessity for a Savior, the necessity for Jesus Christ. When we think about faith, and I go through that, hoping that you already know Christ as your Savior, but asking you the question, if you don't know, would you listen on purpose this morning? Would you perhaps be curious enough to know the question, where will I spend eternity? Because that book tells you how you can know. That very book tells us how we can know where we're going to spend eternity. That Bible answers the question. There are those who will say, how could anyone possibly know that? The Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that we can know for certain. It's not a question mark. I talk to so many people, and there's always a question mark about that answer. They say, well, if you died today, would you go to heaven, or would you go to hell, or do you know? And so many people with a question mark say, well, I hope that I will go to heaven. Well, everyone hopes that they're going to go to heaven, but only Jesus Christ tells us how that we can know for certain. Only that Bible reveals to us the answer. And it isn't hidden. It's not a mystery. It's God's not up in heaven saying, oh, we'll find out one day. No, God's saying, I already made the way possible. All you need to do is trust Christ as your Savior by faith. And so we're talking about faith this morning. We read here in Genesis, we read about this man named Enoch. Now, I made the mistake, and I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself, because I stopped at verse number 18 when Enoch was 162 years old, and even failing to realize, it goes on, recounts for us that he has sons and daughters and lives much longer after he begat Enoch, because I wanted to get down here to where it talks in verse 22 that Enoch walked with God. And in verse number 24, it says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. One of only, thinking in my brain, I believe I can only name two individuals who never tasted death. Enoch and Elijah. Elijah was caught up in a chariot of fire, and Elisha watched him, and we understand that when you go through over to the book of Kings. But Enoch, this first individual, Enoch walked with God, and then the Bible says Enoch was not. Watch it, verse number 24, for God took him. It doesn't say, and he died. We read all throughout verse number 20, talk about Jared, and he died. You go to verse number 27, talking about Methuselah, the oldest to ever walk this earth, 969 years, and he died. It goes on Lamech in verse number 31, and he died, and it goes on and on, and he died, and he died, and he died, just like you will one day. Unless the rapture happens, we all die, but not Enoch. Enoch was a different individual. There was something about Enoch. We're discussing faith for security. Go over to Hebrews, if you would. You can leave the place there in Genesis. Hebrews chapter number 11, almost to the back of the Bible, not quite all the way to the back. You'll have the book of James and 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. So there's about 3 or 4 or 5 smaller books. Hebrews chapter number 11, I want to give you enough time to get there. Hebrews outlines for us the hall of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We discussed that even again last week. In verse number 4, we see that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You remember Old Testament? We could have gone there where Cain in verse or in chapter number 4, Cain rose up and slew Abel because of his anger against Abel, because God was satisfied with the sacrifice that Abel offered, but not with the sacrifice that God or that Cain himself had offered. God was not pleased, and so we see their salvation. God is not pleased by our works. God's not trying to get you to attend Coastal Light Baptist Church, become a member, start tithing here. If you want to do all of that, that's great. But that's not God's intent for you to go to heaven. He didn't say, join that Baptist church, and boy, your ticket is paid, it's all done. No, Jesus Christ has already paid the ticket, and now God expects us to trust Him by faith. So when we get here to Hebrews 11, look, if you would, at verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wow. I look here in Hebrews 11. And if you've been around the Bible for very long, you understand that Hebrews chapter 11 is that hall of faith. It talks about individuals. And we'll not look at all of them today. It's going to take us several weeks to get through all of them. But it talks about this individual or this man or this woman. And then at the end kind of encompasses a bunch of them together. But the very first one that he speaks about is a very obscure individual in the Bible, of which very little is said. Cain. Not much is said about Cain. We know that he killed his brother. We don't really know a great deal before that point. What was Cain like? What was his character like? He was probably a hothead. Because he got so mad at his brother that he killed him, the first murder ever to take place. So even though he was raised in the same household as Abel, he was a different temperament, a different character. Couldn't control his anger, it looks like. But he's a very minutely spoken of man in the Bible. And then we get here in Hebrews 11, in verse number 5, we get to this another very seldom spoken of man. Now, on down through in Hebrews 11, we're going to read and learn about some men who a great deal was told about their lives. But God's word begins with two in this hall of faith, of which these two, hardly anything is mentioned. I believe it's five times Enoch is talked about in five different sections of Scripture. His name is given a few more than that. Sometimes it's spelled a little bit differently. In 1 Chronicles, there's an H before his name, but you can tell because of the genealogy that it's talking about the same individual. And so very little is said about Enoch. Now, our topic today is faith for security. Enoch's life shows us how far faith can take us. When life presses in, our faith brings security to our life. When life presses in, our faith brings our life security. The frailty of life brings instability. You think about your life. How unstable it is. You may say, oh, man, Pastor, no, listen, I'm very stable. You know, I've got my husband or my wife, my mom, my dad, my children, our family is stable. Well, the truth is, the frailty of life creates a lot of instability. It's our faith in God that is the cement that holds us together. If you have any stability in your life, if you have any stability in your family, it's because God has allowed it. And it's because God has created it. And you've allowed God to take that life and that family and cement you together. You look at the world today, and the world is fractured in so many different ways. And you might be part of that this morning. It might be that your life is fractured in so many different ways. Can I tell you this morning that the faith that God has in Scripture, the faith that He wants for you to get a hold of, the faith that He wants you to have in your life, it will cement your family together. It will bring stability to your life, where the world will bring nothing but instability and chaos. You see, in the Bible, faith held Abraham while being asked to give his only son. Faith held Joseph in place while he was being falsely accused by numerous individuals. Faith held Joshua together while he was battling against Jericho. Faith held David together while he was being pursued by Saul, a man that would be his father-in-law one day, a man that looked at him and he loved David until that one point where his entire demeanor changed and now he chased him the rest of his life trying to kill him. That faith held him there. It is faith that held Nehemiah together while he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. It is faith that stabilized Job when Job lost everything other than his wife. Everything else was lost, and faith held Job in place. Faith held Isaiah when he knew that he was a man of unclean lips, as he gave his own testimony. Faith held Daniel when he faced the lion because of his obedience to God. Now Daniel is placed in a lion's den, and it is faith that cemented his life together. It's faith that held him. It is faith that held Jonah in place, even when he complained to God. Jonah, yes, Lord, I want to send you on a missions trip. Praise the Lord. Where do I get to go? I'm going to have you go to Tarshish. I don't want to go there. I'm sorry. Nineveh. He was from Tarshish. Nineveh. I want you to go to Nineveh. God wasn't confused. I am. I want you to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I hate those people. They're ugly people. I don't want to go there. That's like going to South Carolina. Lord, no, don't send me there. But I want you to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to. And he runs and he jumps on a ship. And the ship is about to be, you know the story. And finally he says, it's me, throw me over. So they toss him overboard. Man, the wind calms down. The sea is calm. And a whale got lunch. Man, there he is in the belly of the whale. Oh, Lord, 3 days, 3 nights. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. The Lord says to the whale, hey, you don't feel too well, do you, right now? No. Goes, spews him up on the land. And he goes and preaches at the Nineveh. Can you imagine this? Hey, Nineveh, by the way. Nineveh is spoken of again in the Bible. Nineveh was a huge city for its time. Huge. The entire city fell before God and got right with God. Man, as a preacher, I couldn't imagine that. Move to Charleston, South Carolina, preach a simple message, very few words, and the entire city, the mayor and all, falls down and says, what must I do to be saved? Jonah walks out of that city in disgust, is still mad that they all got right with God. Complains to the Lord. But it's still faith. It's still faith in God that held him together. Listen, faith holds so many who would otherwise have given up. Faith. But there are many enemies of our faith. We're going to look at three. Each of these, we're going to look at three different enemies that we see out of the verses that are given to us in Scripture. Look, if you would, here again at verse number 5. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, we're going to stop there for just a moment. So, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. In other words, he was taken up. We don't know how. Elijah, we are told, was taken up in a chariot of fire. How that plays out, I don't know. Some kind of a chariot with wheels of fire going up into the sky. But we don't even know how Enoch was taken. It just says that he was not. He was translated that he should not see death. In that particular portion right there, that he should not see death. When we look at faith for security, now, it's God. Our faith in God brings us security. Our faith in God brings us stability. But the enemy, the first enemy that we have that fights against your faith in God to bring you security is simply insecurity. The enemy of insecurity. Insecurity oftentimes fights against security in ways that you wouldn't imagine. Let me give you an illustration. Many years ago when my daughter was, I guess, probably about one. I think she might have been one. I had a good friend, Steve Brand.
Steve was a nut just like me, man. We were two nuts in one tree, I guess. I don't know. We got along great. And Steve, he wanted to go bungee jumping one time. And so we went down and he went bungee jumping. And I got to go up in the box with him and I got to watch bungee jumping from the top side. That was kind of neat. And then we went to the California State Fair that particular year. So Brittany, this probably would have been about 93, maybe 94, something like that. And at the state fair, they had a little creek that ran down through the fairgrounds, a little waterway. There were some paddle boats over here, and they had this great big arch, a metal arch that went up over that creek. It was, I forget how high, but somewhere around 100 feet, maybe 125 feet high, something like that. And if you had enough money, you could pay the man over here, and he would set you on put you on a scale, find out how much you weigh, and then he would say, "All right, we need this many bungee ropes," and you could go bungee jumping. And I finally convinced my wife to let me go. And she said, "All right, yes." And so Steve and I, we went over there and we paid our money to go bungee jumping. And I'll never forget that ride going up. You got in this little thing and they closed the door and they talked to you and they said, "All right, now listen, when we get to the top, you're sitting down there, you're filling out the waiver saying, if I die, I won't sue you. My wife won't sue you. My grandparent won't sue you. Hey, I'm probably going to die anyway." And all of you, they talked about this. "I'm going to open the door. When we get to the top, I'm going to count 3, 2, 1. I'm going to say, bungee, and you're going to jump." I'm like, "Great." And he opens the door. I'm like, "Man, we're already here. Wait a minute. Hold on. I thought it was going to get some time to think about this." The door was open. I stand out there on the edge of that thing thinking to myself, "I don't know if I'm going to do this." He says, "3. I'm going, "Man, I love danger. I love heights. I love all these things, but this is a spooky 2. I don't know. 1. Bungee." I'm like, "I better go, man. Jump out. Woo!" It was great. Obviously, it was wonderful. Wonderful. I lived. I survived. But here's the thing about it. If you ever watch anyone bungee jump, oftentimes, you know, they'll get that great big vest around you and they cinch it up tight and they buckle it, and they've got those metal rings there and they hook onto that ring and that bungee, you know, you look at that and you're like, "Is that enough bungee cord?" Hey, and boy, that the security that you feel because, "Oh man, it's tight." Well, here I was, it was middle of the summer, and I'd gone to the fair with a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, and this was the best way to bungee. They didn't give me that nice tight vest that gave me that secure feeling. They just had these little ankle shackles. Tied it around my ankles. Made sure it was good and solid. There isn't much security in your ankles. Your ankles don't have, you know, God did not place that secure feeling around your feet, you know. Boy, he placed that around your chest. Oh, that's good. Feels, okay, good. Yeah, feels nice and tight. Feels real secure. Okay, I'm ready. Now, just around your ankles, you don't feel much around your ankles. I'm thinking to myself, this is a weird feeling. It was a gorgeous day. Praise the Lord. It was a fun time, honestly. It was great. Anyone ever gone bungee jumping? Come on. Anyone else? Anyone? Praise the Lord. I like that. I think I've asked that before. How many of you want to go this afternoon? All right, I got one more hand, my son. Insecurity. Now listen. Insecurity fights against security. It fights. It battles. The Bible says here, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now there is a great secure feeling when we have our faith in God. But insecurity fights against it. Insecurity. You see, there are many things in life that cause us to be insecure. An unstable job situation fights against your security, your faith for security. Difficult financial decisions fight against your faith in God for security. You look at your checkbook. You look at your job situation. You look at those who ridicule you for your looks, maybe. Those who ridicule you for your beliefs. Those that ridicule you for your decisions. You look at maybe poor health in your life. Maybe you have a child that is wayward and is no longer walking with the Lord, no longer in church, and these things fight against you, and you want that secure feeling. You want that vest that's up tight, cinched up, and I've got the security. And God says to you, "Wait a minute, I am going only to allow just those ankle shackles around your feet, but you're going to have to place your faith in me." Insecurity fights against security every single time. Because we see all the insecurity of the world. But God wants us to see the security that comes when we put our faith in Him. God is looking for those who will say, I will place my faith for security in you, Lord. I'm not going to concern myself with, it might be any of these, the job or the finances or health or the child or any of these areas or many others that we could mention. And you say, oh, I'm not going to allow that to fight against my security in you. How we react to these issues will be determined by our faith for security. The sovereignty of God, by the way, the sovereignty of God gives us tremendous security. Remember now, the sovereignty of God is God's unique right to do that which He wants with that which is His. The sovereignty of the United States, of which I've been told we have given away, we have signed it away, but to the United Nations. The sovereignty of the United States is, hey, we are together, banded together, we are a sovereign United States of America. These 50 states, we are self-governing, we are not to be told what we're going to do, we will make decisions for ourselves, but when we signed away our sovereignty, now the world can tell us what to do. And we're watching it happen now. We're watching the world press in, and we have no legal right many times to fight against it because we signed it away. Well, you see, God never signed away His sovereignty. God never signed away His sovereignty to the devil. He didn't sign His sovereignty away to the world. He didn't sign His sovereignty over to the Muslims or to the Buddhists or to the Catholics or to the Baptists. God didn't sign His sovereignty to anyone. God is still sovereign. And it gives us great security. You see, He already knows my need. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8 says, "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." He already knows your need. The sovereignty of God, it gives me great security. It gives me tremendous security. It's the only thing that I could say to the young couple that their little baby girl, 3 hours old, passed away. The only thing I could say is, in God's sovereignty, it didn't catch Him by surprise. God knew this would happen. And that can give all of us security. You see, you may say, but I have contracted an unbelievable disease. I have cancer, or I have this, or I have that, you know. My job situation, I thought it was rock solid. I thought that I'd be there for the rest of my life. Whatever it is, you see, the sovereignty of God, not a one of those things caught God by surprise. He already knows our need. He already has the supply. In Philippians 4, verse number 19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, I need to paraphrase, or not paraphrase, I need to put parentheses around this. In Philippians 4, 19, But my God shall supply all your need. Philippians is talking about a missions-minded individual. Talking to a missions-minded individual. I say that because oftentimes we'll find people that will take portions of Scripture and say, oh, you see, my God will supply all my need according to Scripture. Well, yes, He will. But that particular verse is talking to the one that says, listen, I will be willing to support worldwide missions. You can search it. You can study it. You can go over to the different places. You can pull the tapes that I've preached. You can ask me about it. It's talking about those who are willing to be involved in missions. But God still, nonetheless, says, I already have your supply. He is waiting for us to ask. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 7 says, ask, ye shall receive. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. See, God already knows what it is. The enemy of insecurity fights against security. But the born-again believer, the child of God, the one who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, has nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. In 1 John 4, herein is our love made perfect, that we may be have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love. Well, there is no more perfect love than the love that Jesus Christ had for you, willing to send His only begotten Son to die on a cross, to spend however long, I don't know, but for his soul, the very soul of Jesus Christ, to go to hell, to pay for your sin. And then we still have those that say, well, I think I'm good. I think I'm good enough to go to heaven. The soul of Jesus Christ paid for your sin in hell. And you honestly believe that you think you're good enough to go to heaven? No, it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away our sin. Security? Oh, my eternity? My eternity is secure because I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I would have to ask, have you? How secure is your eternity? The second thing that we see the enemy that fights against security is the enemy of pleasure. Look there in Hebrews 11, look at verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The enemy of pleasure fights against the faith that we have for security. There are only two choices on the shelf, the little poem that was quoted to me many years ago. There are only two choices on the shelf. Am I going to please God or am I going to please self? Galatians chapter number 1 says, For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. By the way, when God said that, he's talking about me pleasing me just as much as he is me pleasing you. See, the enemy of pleasure. Well, I want to be happy. I want to be pleased. I want to be satisfied. Our faith in God and faith for his control in our lives, that pleases God. We should please the Lord. Although we read very little about the life of Enoch, we do know this, that he had a life that pleased God. In Amos chapter 3, verse number 3, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together? Listen, Scripture teaches us what the Bible means. We compare Scripture with Scripture. And we go over there to Genesis 5 and we read two times, Enoch walked with God. We read here in this verse, he should not see death. He was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, the testimony that Enoch had, we don't know a whole lot about Enoch. It doesn't tell us anything about what church he attended, if you will. We don't read about how much he put in the offering plate. We don't read about how he might have supported a worldwide missionary fund. We read nothing in his life about how good he was to the homeless. We read nothing about Enoch except for the fact that he pleased God. Well, the only way that we can walk with God is to agree with God. So we know that from the life of Enoch, that he agreed with the Bible. He agreed with God. He agreed with God's word. He had no qualms with it. So he was perfectly fine. But there is this enemy of pleasure. The enemy of pleasure. You see, we live in such a pleasure-filled world that pleasing the Lord is mocked. We live in such a pleasure-filled world that pleasing the Lord is seldom seriously considered by his own children. Man, the preacher gets up and preaches a message, and the cold hearts sit there and say, I'll do what I want to anyway. I'll do what I want. I want you to hold your hand here. I want you to go back, take your Bible, go over to Romans chapter number 6. I want to go through quickly a series of books. They're going to all be the same chapter. We're going to look at Romans. Then we're going to go one book over, look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to go one book over, look at 2 Corinthians. We're going to do that for just a little bit here. Romans chapter number 6, just a few verses here. Look at verses number 15 and 16. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now listen, we're talking about the enemy of pleasure.
pleasing ourselves, not pleasing God. So these verses here, they talk to us. They tell us that we are a servant to whom we obey. If I give in to my own pleasure, my own lust, I am a servant to that sin. Go one book over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Every book we're going to look at is in chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians 6, look at verses 19 and 20. What? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and ye, which is of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, already we've seen the tone. Already we've seen the theme here. We're to please God. Our body, if I am bought with a price, if I'm a born again believer, if I say I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior, then I have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the price that was paid. What? Know ye not that you're bought with a price? Verse number 19, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. We are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, the enemy of pleasure tells us, I don't need to listen to what the Bible says. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We are in Romans 6. Then we are in 1 Corinthians 6. Now in 2 Corinthians 6, look here, if you would, at verse number 14. But he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So, the enemy of pleasure fights against the faith for security, because pleasure doesn't give me security. Go over one more book. Go to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Look at one little verse here. Verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look at your life. Hey, look at your life. What kind of problems do you have in your life? It's not because you sowed righteousness, but rather because you sowed unrighteousness. Yesterday evening, I was speaking to a couple. Their dear child, the child of this couple, is living in unbelievable conditions. The mother of this child, To my knowledge, I don't know. I don't know whether this mother or the father would give a testimony of salvation or not. I didn't have a chance to ask them. Lord willing, in upcoming days, I'll have an opportunity. But the mother of this child said, because of this child, because of the condition that they're willing to live in, we must give tough love. And what they were doing in the life of their child, I pray that I never have to do. I pray that you would never have to do. The tough love that they were having to show their child because of their willingness to live in pleasure. God, if I'm a child of God, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Oh, they pleaded with this child, this couple did. Time and time and time again, they pleaded with this child. They offered three different ways for this child to straighten over the course of several years. And finally now they say, we have to put you in such a predicament that possibly you'll fall flat on your back. I reminded them of the prodigal son. When we read about the prodigal son in Luke, I said, the daddy never once chased after the child, but said, when you're ready to come back home, I'm here.
You see, God is not mocked. That which you sow, you're going to reap. One more book. We're in Galatians. Go over to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. We've seen time and time and time, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. We have watched how God says it's because of our pleasure that we have problems. God's not going to be mocked. When we get to Ephesians chapter number 6, finally, verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But it goes on, verses 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, talking about the armor of God. I'll not, for the sake of time, I'll not read all of it. You're familiar, I'm sure. If you're not, read through that later. Hey, the armor of God, that is our security. But we don't get to the armor of God through pleasure. We get through to the armor of God when we please God. The enemy of self-pleasure is what causes us problems. The last thing I want us to see, the last enemy. We go back over to Hebrews 11. Look one more time, Hebrews 11, verse number 6, where it says, We just finished reading about Enoch. He had pleased God. Watch verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The last enemy. Faith for our faith for security. We have the enemy of insecurity. We have the enemy of pleasure, but we also have the enemy of selfishness. The enemy of selfishness. It is impossible to please Him when we're selfish. You see, I'm convinced that our selfishness causes us to sin. Please listen. Our selfishness causes us to sin probably more than the temptation of Satan himself. Oftentimes, Satan doesn't even need really to tempt you. Because our selfishness, we call for it. We ask for it. We bring it on ourselves because of our selfishness. I don't want to please God. I don't want to please God. If I say I want to please God, then Satan's going to tempt me not to please God. But when in selfishness I say, I don't even care if I please God. Satan's job is easy. He just sits back and lets you ruin your life. Oh, the enemy of selfishness. We can't see the forest for the trees. I want blocks my willingness to please Him. I need overrides His desire for my life. And I think, that's always superior to His will. Well, I think that I can do this and it'll be all right. Selfishness. I can't put it in any other way. Well, I think, I understand what you think. But what does God think? People say all the time, well, I think that, whoa. Man, when it comes to Scripture, when it comes to spiritual things, if you utter the words, well, I think, could I ask you to just stop right there and say, but what does God think? What does God think? Oh, it is my faith in Him that pleases Him. If I cannot demonstrate my faith in what He has asked me to do, then His will, it will never make sense to me. If I cannot demonstrate my faith in what He has asked me to do, then I will never be able to feel secure in my faith toward Him. Why? Because I won't do the simple things that He has told me to do. We've looked at it so many times. You could turn over there to if you want, in Hebrews chapter number 5. It talks about the strong meat belongeth to Him that by reason of use. I have it in my notes here. By reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If you don't practice the simple things in life, and if you don't exercise what you know is right, you'll never be able to discern good and evil. Therefore, you will call that which is good evil,
And you will call that which is evil, good. Because you never practiced the simple things. Therefore, the strong meat of the Bible, you'll never be able to swallow it. You'll spit it out of your mouth and you'll say, that's too hard, too tough to chew. And so therefore, you'll live a life calling evil good and good evil. And we see it prevalent throughout our Christian world today. Calling that which is good, evil. How dare you say that I can't live my alternate lifestyle? You're evil. I don't know what to tell you, folks. How dare you tell me that I can't smoke my cigarettes? How dare you tell me that I can't be dishonest in my business dealings? It's all the same. It doesn't matter what we talk about. Those who want to call evil good and those who want to call good evil. Well, I wouldn't go to church. I'm not going to do that. That's old-fashioned. I'm better than that. I've moved beyond that. That's just a crutch. Hey, all of it's the same. You get to the point where you haven't even lifted the 1 pound barbell. How could you possibly bench press 100 pounds? Because you don't practice. We don't practice the things that we know. You see, we have this faith for security, but our selfishness stands in the way. And so no wonder we're filled with a nation of born-again believers who are insecure in God. Because we're so selfish. Oh, listen. When will you be ready? When will you be willing to trust God for security? The enemies of faith are very real. The enemies are very real. Do you treat them as enemies? Are you treating them as enemies? Your insecurity, your pleasure, your selfishness. Do you treat them as enemies fighting against faith for security? Enoch walked with God. Enoch figured these things out. The Bible doesn't have to detail his life. All the Bible needs to say is he walked with God. Oh, let's walk with God. Let's realize that there are real enemies that are going to fight against security. And let's place our security in what God's already given to us. I trust this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that question that I asked a few moments ago, if you died right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? If you died right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? If you say, I don't know, or if you say, I think I'd go to heaven. Wait a minute, I just said I think. What does God say? I hope I'd go to heaven. But what does God say? Oh, that Bible can tell you how you can know for certain. If there is a question mark, here in a few moments I'm going to have a word of prayer. We're going to have an invitation. The piano will begin playing in just a moment. The invitation is for someone to come and make a decision. Maybe your decision is, I need to place my security in God. I need to realize that there are enemies that are fighting against my security, my faith in God. It might be, however, today that you need to say, I've never been born again. If I died right now, I have no idea where I'd go. I have no idea. And that Bible, preacher, that Bible tells me how I can know. Please. Oh, would you let someone show you how you can trust Christ as your Savior? Don't leave this church building with a question mark on your eternity. You may have question marks about a lot of things in your life. But when it comes to where am I going to go when I die, God didn't write the Bible so that you could walk out of a church with a question mark. God said, I can show you how you can know. Oh, would you let someone show you? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the message. I pray, dear God, that you would just use it in our hearts. Help us to see, Lord, that we can have faith for security, real, genuine faith for security in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would fight against these enemies. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, even when we feel insecure, that we would see that we can be secure in our faith. Lord, even though that we want to please ourselves, we would see that we need to please you. And even though, dear God, we are so selfish in so many ways, Lord, we would realize that we need to put into practice the things that we've already been taught. So that then, Lord, we would be able to gain strength and watch our faith for security to increase. This morning, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. before I say amen even, let me ask you this question. This morning, if you're here and you're the individual that says, I don't know. I don't know where I would spend eternity. I don't know. Can I tell you this? Would you listen? Can I tell you this before I even ask for any decision? You're amongst friends. You're amongst people that would love for you to trust Christ as your Savior if you're the one that would say, I don't know. With that having been said, would you perhaps slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I don't know where I would spend eternity. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell. I have thought for so long that I would go. But I would have to say, I think. I cannot say, I know. Is that you? Anywhere across the room, would you slip your hand up? Pastor Sears, that's me. Oh, would you pray for me? I need to be born again. I don't know where I would spend eternity. I don't know. Just a couple more moments, I'll wait. Just a couple more moments. That's me. Would you pray for me? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, oh, Pastor, I've had so many fights. My faith for security has been so weak lately, but I see that there are enemies that are fighting against that, and I realize what they are now. Is that you perhaps anywhere? All across the auditorium, boy, I thank the Lord for the hands. This morning, Lord, I pray you just bless us. Help us, dear Lord, as we make decisions for you. Dear God, I pray that we would draw us closer to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand, if you would, your feet. The piano will begin playing. Oh, would you come this morning? Would you say, dear Lord, I need to have faith for security, and I realize that there are things that are fighting against it, but I need to get that right with you. Oh, would you come this morning? Would you come to this altar? Would you lay it before the Lord? Perhaps you did not raise your hand for salvation, but you would have to say, I don't know where I would spend eternity, but I would like to. Oh, would you come today? Would you come today? The song that is being played, only trust Him. You can't trust yourself. You come as she plays.